Greetings, salutations, and welcome to the Plains Talkers Podcast, the show by casuals for casuals. I'm your host, Will Benson, joined as always by my not exactly to be roasted, but certainly to be toasted co-host, Aramis Perez. Aramis, how you doing? My favorite turkey gobble gobble.
Slightly undercooked.
Or are you just whelmed?
You might want to call some health inspectors. I think it's a little raw on the inside.
Oh, that just sounds horrible. Well, let's go ahead and get right to it. Untap, upkeep, and draw. We're going to do what we always do. And, of course, tonight some more winter lager, because that's the way I roll. So, down the hatch, salute. I imagine you're having some sort of 7-Up product or...
Nope.
No?
Nope.
Oh.
Got my water bottle from work.
Well... It's a wonderful evening, so.
Yeah, it's not bad tonight. It's actually not freezing for a change.
It's a good night for that. It's a winter lager night, so, God, it's good this year. All right, so untap, upkeep, and draw, where we like to tell you what's coming up tonight. We've got a lot of information, stuff to get over tonight. We're going to go over gift-giving ideas, because it's that time of year. Mm-hmm. So what we're going to do is, when we get to main phase, that'll be a part for you to, and I'll try to put it in the show notes. I'm going to kill Pam. I'm going to put it in the show notes, like when we start the main phase, so that you guys can just start it right there and be like, oh, wow, what an amazing thing. Because we're going to be doing gift ideas and obviously trying to get a regular non-magic person to listen to a magic podcast, just because we're doing gift ideas is, you know, hard. So you're going to have to get creative, put it in the car or whatever. But we'll put that in the notes, and that's where you start it. We'll do like a false open and everything. I mean, we're going to make this really good.
Subversive listing. I like it.
Yes, it's awesome. So we've got, we're going to go over some gift-giving ideas. We're going to talk a little bit during combat phase about the secret lair, and I don't know if we'll have combat on it, but we'll definitely talk about it.
Yes.
And then after that, main two, we're going to go over the arena event from this weekend. We've got historic. I bought the cards, and I'm kicking myself for that. Basically we had the historic event, so we'll go through that. And then we've got some emails, we've got some reviews to go through, so it's kind of a great, it's a hodgepodge holiday episode. But Aramis, how have you been, man? It's still untapped, so what's going on, dude? How you been?
Not a whole heck of a lot, you know, there was no FNM this weekend, so.
Well,
you went, I didn't go. but played a little bit of Arena, played the historic event, did a couple drafts. Got some family in town.
Do you?
Yep, my brother-in-law's in town. He's the brand new
Magic
player.
You always like this time when he comes into town. You're always kind of jank. I remember like last year and the year before you were talking about that.
So. Yeah, but now he's trying to learn how to play Magic, so it's even better.
Did you get the game night, right?
I do have game night. I'm hoping to play it this week.
All right, let me know how that goes, especially because your wife wants to play, and I've been hesitating to put it on Facebook or show you. My wife like went to town on our upper room, and like we have a full almost like a feature table rig at this point. I mean, the only thing it's missing is a camera.
Wow.
Like, I see if it can come on the TV here, but like that's in our main room.
Oh wow, yeah, that's cool.
And that stays up at all times. And she's like, you know, and then she's like behind it on the shelves there behind it is Magic cards, her decks, my deck.
Sweet.
Not my main decks, but
yeah.
So I mean, she's like wants to play, and I mean, we had a great weekend because we had Matthew and Isabel. We had the kids. Matthew's like, I want to go to Friday night, and so we called his friend Ethan, who's also learning to play, and we went to Professor Bond's because we were going to go to Gamers, and Gamers was doing Modern, and I'm like, oh, I'm not going to throw the chum in the water for that.
Yeah, it's like, hey, I brought my fun deck. Yeah, here's Tron.
Yeah. Well, I don't think they're that meta there. They're pretty casual, but it's still kind of... I wanted them to kind of enjoy.
Well, I mean, you don't want to just, you know, waltz into a store with your casual deck and then all of a sudden here comes Emrakul.
Exactly. Well, it's funny because Ethan, his friend Ethan, he actually didn't have a standard deck. They just kind of let him play Modern. So he played Modern. And he had a good time, and it was good. I mean, Matthew rolled in. I built him a kind of a gruel aggro mid-range kind of, not so much aggro, but a little more mid-range. I don't think he had enough, you know, set yet to go for aggro.
Uh-huh.
But I threw some questing beasts in there. I threw a few other things. I threw an Embercleave.
Can't go wrong with that.
And he did all right. He went 2-2.
Okay.
I played Simic Flash, and I went 2-2. However, the one thing about this store, Professor Bonds, that I kind of dig is that there were some guys there that are players, that are gamers. It's kind of almost Kerwin-y in that regard.
Right.
In that we're sitting there, and my first two rounds, my first round I played a Dimir Mill deck, and I'm like, oh, you're going to have a bad day. And he had a bad day. the wolf gets out, he couldn't counter it, and it just goes from there. I beat him 2-0, pretty handily, actually. The second game, it was almost not even a contest. Game two, I played against an Esper control deck.
How'd that go?
I played against an Esper control deck.
Yeah. How did that go?
I played against an Esper control deck.
I mean, if they don't put Teferi on the board, you actually kind of have a slight advantage against them.
I played against a good Esper control deck.
Never mind.
A good player Esper control deck. Yeah,
never mind.
I was on my back foot most of the game. We had good matches, and it was good interaction. We kept going. I mean, we almost went to time. And then... round three, I ended up playing against a mono green, which, you know, then I was, you know, I just beat the living. It was not even a contest. And then finally, game four, went up against mono red.
Yeah, so the game lasted about, you know, 37 seconds.
Oh, you know, game two, I had a pretty good run, and then I got mana flooded. Like, I was doing really well in countering where I needed to counter, and he got a few things out, but nothing he could grow. Like, I would let him resolve his knight there, the one drop.
The Fervent Champion.
I'd let him resolve the Fervent Champion for the first strike. I'm like, well, whatever, you know, but I was keeping the Scorch Spitter off the field. And he wasn't playing the Cavalcade version. He was just playing Mono Red Aggro. It still didn't end well. But you know what? I went 2-2. I got a couple of pity packs, and... You know, I did all right. We had a good time. I did a little shopping for the kids and for the wife. And, you know, that part was good. I like it. It's the first time I think I've done a Friday at Professor Bonds, and I enjoyed it. I did. Mm-hmm. I had a good time. And, you know, it's a pretty good thing. I think if the oldest is coming home from college this weekend, even though it's not our weekend, if he wants to go play Magic on a Friday night, I mean, I don't think I'd take him to Bonds because they're doing Modern, but I think Gamers Revolt is doing Standard. I'd love to take him to Kerwin's. It's just a two-hour, you know,
trip. Yeah, it's a hike. Trip. It's a hike.
I love that store. That's my store, but, you know, at the end of the day, it's just...
It is 2 hours, yeah. No, for an FNM, if you're just going with just a couple people, it is 2 hours is a hike.
Yeah, well, I mean, I'll lose Matthew. He's 13.
Yeah,
I mean, by the first hour, he'll be like, are we there? You're telling me there's no magic store between here and there that we could go to? What do you, you know, and even when we get there, he'll be like, yeah, this is kind of cool, but I was in the car for an hour and a half. Where are the dancing girls? So, but I had a good, you know what? I had a good time. We had a good night. And again, he really enjoyed it. It was more about him. I was playing Simic Flash. I almost played Mono Red, but I actually let Ethan's dad didn't have a deck, so I let him borrow it. Because I was thinking very seriously. I was like, okay, it's your first night at Friday night. Let's see how the meta goes. I was just going to play Mono Red Aggro, and we'll play it out and see how we do.
Mm-hmm.
So, but, you know, he went 0-4. He's still learning the game. But, you know, his son went, I think, 1-3 or 2-2, and he had a good time. So
yeah, as long as you have fun, especially for right. Friday Night Magic.
Yeah, so you haven't gotten Pam to play yet.
Not yet.
All right. Well, it's coming.
Not yet. I think that whilst my brother-in-law is here, I think we'll be able to get at least one game of game night in, and hopefully that hooks her.
Yeah. Well, the crack is real.
The crack is real. It is real.
So, you know, I mean, it was great, and you know, I wish I could go this weekend. Like I said, if we go, it's going to be an ad hoc thing. I mean, I would love to go to Kerwin's. But we'll be back there ourselves on the 13th, I think. So we'll go back in 2 weeks. But I felt bad taking the guy. First of all, they're not getting paid this week. Second of all, half of them are going home. Mm-hmm. Third of all, it's like they're not getting paid this week. So I'm like, yes, I have money. And third of all, I'm not going to be there. Like, that would mean me driving 2 hours. And, well, I like my house. I'm a big fan of my house. Especially since my wife plays now. So
Yeah.
So anyway, we should probably go ahead and get right into the main phase here because we got a ton of stuff. So, okay, let's mark it here. Remember this, 12:00, we're going to say 12:15. All right, I'm going to put these in the show notes because we're going to talk about shopping lists for, you know, Magic. So if you're listening to this podcast right now and you're in your car, all right, and you're listening by yourself because your family ain't ever going to let you listen to it. All right, and you really want to try to get something, so it's not going to be 12:15 because I need to go over this. You're going to want to go ahead and start it when we come back. I'm just going to play a little bit of the intro, and we're just going to get right into the buyer guide. We're not going to go through the whole rigmarole of introducing ourselves and all that. We're just, you know, come on. They're going to know what's up anyway. All right, so let's do that. So greetings, salutations, and welcome to the Planeswalkers Podcast. And you know what, folks? We're not going to do the whole rigmarole tonight because it's a special occasion. It is our big, bad, you know, Christmas holiday spectacular.
Main phase.
So we're going to go right into main phase. We're going to skip Untap. Here we go. We're talking the holiday spectacular. So this is what you should be getting your friends, family who are Magic players. Okay, so this time of year, you know, we're all thinking about the gifts and stuff, and I'd love to get some really good Magic stuff. I mean, Aramis, what about you?
Power 9.
Yes. Yeah, buy us the Power 9. Sure.
All of it at once, yes. Please, in cash
that's
only.
That's for if your relative is Cher. Okay, she can buy us the Power 9.
Well, actually, that would work, because if she could turn back time, she'd get a time twister and a time walk. Oh, I love it. That's nice. Great, I'll put it down.
Yeah, you're a comedic genius. So anyway, Aramis, no, but I mean, it's this time of year, and I mean, I've already done some shopping. My wife got into Magic this year, so I'm not sure if she's listening, so I'm not going to say if I got her anything for Magic, but I definitely got things for the kids, because I know they ain't listening. So, you know, I went and did a little shopping, and we're actually going to have a coupon code at the end of this, so, because we've actually partnered with a pretty cool retailer about that. So, but I mean, you know, for the first thing I'm going to think about for shopping, if you've got family that hasn't played Magic, if you've got family that enjoy it, you know, you want to get them into Magic, I am a case study. I can say this, you know, and professor from Tolarian College be damned. The game night, it's pretty great. It got my wife hooked. It got my son hooked. My other son, who was hooked at one point and then went and decided to play Pokemon for some reason, played with us as well, and he's like, oh, I need a deck to take to college. So we're in, man. This thing actually hooked us. Now, again, if you've seen the Tolarian College, which, you know, if any of you are listening who aren't Magic fans, it's a YouTube channel with a guy, and he's now bald, but he had, like, flowing hair at one point. It was really cool.
It's a really good channel. I highly recommend it.
Yeah. He was talking about the game night, and he was bashing it pretty good, but I think the thing he missed is that it's not for us. Game night's not for me. It's not for you, Aramis. It's for my wife and my kid. And actually, I think they're going to outgrow it this year, and I'm looking forward to it. But we're, you know, I think we're still going to get a copy of 2019 because my family's cool. But it's for the people in your life that you want to maybe dip their toe into Magic. It's a rather simplified product. It's 5 monocolored decks. They don't behave as normal, so, you know, you're going to have to check your preconceptions at the door. Since mono red likes to, you know, you think to yourself, burn and direct damage. And no, mono red, at least last year's game night, I haven't really looked at the deck list this year, but last year's game night was all about, goblins, strangely enough.
Well, I mean, that's a very familiar red trope.
It's a very familiar, but it's not a burn. Like, there were very few burn spells. I think they had 2 shocks.
Hmm.
You know, green is, you know, stompy creatures. Black is pulling things out of the graveyard. The biggest change for me was blue not being counters. like no counter spells whatsoever.
That makes plenty of sense.
It really does, because I mean, counter spells are one of those things that you don't understand. So again, if you're a Magic player already, game night is going to be, you know, just tell yourself that you're enjoying a night of gaming, playing Magic with other people. And yeah, the games are slower. There's less mechanics. You're thinking to yourself, sometimes I could do this so much better with just this one card. And maybe I should put this one card in. They'll never know. Don't do it. The decks are actually really, really cool because they're actually, they're put together in such a way that they work well together.
Yeah, they're built to play against each other.
So I definitely highly recommend that. Aramis, do you have a thought?
Well, I mean, if you're looking to buy something for someone who already plays Magic.
True.
Someone who's a more established player. I mean, you know, obviously for a stocking stuffer, you can never go wrong with booster packs.
That's true.
You know, it's like one of the traditions that my mom used to do for Christmas is she would get a bunch of lottery tickets, like scratch-off tickets, and put them in the stocking, you know?
Mine
if
too,
you're,
actually.
If you're a Magic player, that's basically a lottery ticket. Is you get a booster pack, and hey, maybe you pull an Oko, maybe you pull a Vantress Gargoyle. But, you know, you're getting free Magic cards. Or, you know, maybe you could get some sleeves. You know, Dragon Shield makes some great sleeves. Ultra Pro. And
let me just say, if there are people out there listening who are not familiar with Magic, if there are people out there who are not familiar with Magic, if you go to buy sleeves, don't just trust Walmart. We highly recommend you guys go to a local game shop.
And also talk to the person that plays and say, hey, what product are those? What brand are they? Because for me, like, I've been getting a lot of the Ultimate Guard Ninjas.
I love those.
Or the katanas. Those are the ones that I like that are really good. Dragon Shield regular ones are also very good. But they're more for the player who likes to play, you know, maybe somewhat competitively. They want to protect their cards. Something else you might want to look into is maybe if they're newer at the game, a deck builder's toolkit or even a bundle of the most recent set.
There's a holiday bundle.
Yes.
Throne of Eldraine.
There is.
And I did buy one. I did. I kind of wanted it because it had a collector's pack and you can't find them anywhere now. So I did try it. And it's pretty good. You know, it's 10 packs. There's not the only difference between a holiday bundle, which if you're looking at bundles, a holiday bundle is the shiny one. And, you know, the holiday bundle is 10 packs, 20 lands, 10 of which are foiled, which I'm now using, to be quite honest. I mean, if I run out of my full screen lands, I've been using my foil lands because I've got a lot of them between last set and this set. You know, so I've been kind of putting those in. There's usually one promo type card. There's an oversized life counter. And in the holiday bundle, and this is something you can get without buying the bundle, if you really want to get something for a Magic person, a collector's booster is in there as well. And that's like the super booster. It's full of foils, full of rare. Well, what, two rares and a mythic?
At least two rares and or mythics. Possibility of more depending on what you pull.
Right.
A lot of foils, alternate art stuff, some things you can only get in a collector's booster. I mean, they are about $30 each for 15 cards. So if you're looking for an economical gift, go to the regular booster packs. You'll get, you know, you still have a chance of getting some of the same cards.
No. You love your people, man. Love your people. You spend that extra money.
Well, I mean,
get
if you're
them
gonna
something nice. What's wrong with you? Don't be so damn cheap.
Or you could just buy them a case of boosters, you know?
Them a case of boosters. That would be amazing.
That's only about $600.
Yeah, well, that would work for me.
That would work for me, too. I mean, that's a lot of bulk cards floating around that I have to get rid of.
Oh,
somehow,
my God. I don't think I'd want a case of boosters. That's a lot of cards. And when I say cards, I mean commons.
Tons of commons.
That's a lot of commons.
There's a tons of things that are out there. I mean, if you're still, you know, if it's a newer player, you can get Planeswalker decks. If you could find them, the Commander decks are good for people who play Commander. There's Brawl decks.
Well, yeah, we could talk about that. There are, you know, let's go into that. I mean, there are different types. Again, I'm assuming most people listening to this play Magic, but if for some reason you're somebody listening who doesn't, wink, wink, You know, there are products out there where if you go down the local Walmart aisle, first of all, there are those mystery boxes.
Don't do that.
Stay away from those. First of all, again, the big box stores are, you know what, I understand in a pinch, if my wife is shopping at Walmart, she might go down and be like, I'm going to buy Willow Booster. And, you know, that's kind of cool, and I'm good with that. All right. You know, but when it comes to buying things like, you know, booster boxes or even, you know, maybe a Planeswalker deck or a Commander deck, you know, it's good to go to a local store.
Yeah, you might pay like a dollar or two more at the local game store, but you're supporting a small business.
Exactly. So, but in regards to that, there are two or three products out there that are almost basically pre-built decks.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's what's called, the Planeswalker deck. That's for a more beginner. Mm-hmm. That's for somebody who's just trying out, or maybe you get two. Usually there's two in every set that's released. And if you do that, then you buy two and maybe have them play each other. You know, if you got two kids, here, use these decks, play against each other, don't screw with them. And then they might have a good time. If you roll a Planeswalker deck against somebody who knows how to build anything, or who builds things out of other sets, it, you know, and that's kind of the drawback, is Planeswalker packs, decks usually are limited to whatever set they came out in.
Yeah, and they usually the power level is, you know, basically
somewhat diminished.
Non-existent.
Then there's something called Commander. And Commander is, you'll hear it referred to as EDH sometimes. That is becoming a more and more popular version of Magic. It's a different type of game, and I don't want to get into the nuts and bolts of it, because if you're listening to this and you're not a Magic person, I've probably already lost you.
Yeah, I can already see the eyes glazing over me.
Yes,
like, whoa, huh?
And especially if you're female, I'm not unfamiliar with the eyes glazing over when I talk to you. So, yeah, there's that. Anyway, Commander is a different type. You're going to pay a little more for it. But believe me, if this person is any kind of Magic player that you're buying for, they'll appreciate it.
Yeah.
They'll be like, oh my, even if they have that particular Commander deck, they'll be like, this has cards in it I could use. Yeah. You know, and then there's something called Brawl. Brawl is kind of like Diet Commander. Okay. It's built for specific sets, like kind of like a Planeswalker, but it's a little bit more powered. It's a little bit more tuned. It's a little bit more fun. So that would be it. And then I guess the other thing, yeah, would be like supplies, right?
Yeah, like binders.
Playmats.
Yep. If you're looking at binders for storing your cards, there's a lot of different options. Again, if you're going with the economical route, you can get a standard 3-ring binder and get some 9-pocket sleeves. But if you're looking to really, you know, to get something that's high quality that's going to last a while, Dragon Shield Codex binders are very, very good. I just got one, actually. I'll see if I can. If you're on camera, you'll be able to see it. Right here, I got this bad boy for Throne of Eldraine.
Nice.
And it goes, it's 4x4.
Is it really?
Yeah, so you can hold four cards per row. Let's see if you can see it there.
Oh wow, that, I do like that a little better.
And it's really good. And if you use Dragon Shield sleeves with this, because it's a Dragon Shield binder, they almost snap into place. It's amazing how locked in they are.
Good. That's actually, I really like that.
Highly recommend it. It's a little more expensive. They're actually sometimes a little harder to find because they sell out pretty quickly. I wanted to get one that was all black, and they didn't have any. But it's really good. It's really sturdy, and yeah, it'll protect your cards. And this thing holds like 900 cards. It's crazy. Maybe not 900, but it holds a ton.
That is way cool. Yeah, I like that. Binders are good. Playmats are good. If you find a playmat that, you know, try to get something. If you're buying for somebody who plays Magic, try to get something that they're into. I Nicholas, if you're listening to this, turn off the podcast for 10 seconds, right? I bought my son a Rick and Morty one. He's into Rick and Morty. So
sweet.
I bought him a Rick and Morty playmat.
I like that.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I bought some supplies because their dad went and bought booster boxes for all of them. So I'm like, well, the last thing I want to do is buy you another booster box. So I'm going to get you the stuff you need to hold the booster box.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it's things like that. Deck boxes are also a really good thing to get.
Yes.
You know, there's flip boxes. There are different types. There's towers, and the towers might have a little tray with dice under them. Again, these are all things you could do, though, at a local GameStop. Game shop. Not GameStop. Don't go to GameStop. Dear God, they're like a big box. Don't go to GameStop. What's wrong with you? I love GameStop. Don't get me wrong. I'm a pro member. But, you know, go to a local game shop. They'll help you out. And, you know, it's things like that. So, you know, when it comes to holiday shopping and stuff like that for Magic people, you know, you can't really go wrong.
Not really.
Unless you're buying, like, a Goblins versus Elf.
Oh, that's still fine. I was thinking more like if you buy them, like, Homelands packs or something.
And again, stay away from those Magic cubes in Walmart. Stay away from those. That's where you can go. That's where you go wrong.
Yeah. You go wrong by going to a big box store in general. If you can avoid it, don't go there.
Right.
If you're in a pinch, stick to regular booster boxes and maybe the Commander or Planeswalker decks at that and places like that.
If you don't have a local game shop and you have to go to a big box, the bundles are a perfectly acceptable alternative. It's 10 booster packs. And if you really feel like it, buy them too.
And also, too, if you don't have a local game store in your area, you can still avoid going to Walmart and stuff like that. You can go to Star City Games, TCG Player.
As a matter of fact, that was a beautiful segue, Aramis. We actually, I don't know if you're even aware of this. We, as you know, Aramis and I play at Kerwin's Game Store in Catskill, New York. And believe it or not, they're very, you know, we're friends with them now. And we, you know, we go there a lot. We talk about it all the time. We love the place. And Steve came up to us and he said, hey, listen, I want to give you guys a coupon code for, you know, to encourage your listeners to shop at our store and to buy things. Steve's got very reasonable rates. He's a great guy. Their store is really, really good. And you can reach it at kerwinsgamestore.com. Now, you know, hashtag not sponsored and all of that. But, you know, the coupon code is Planestalkers. That is PlanesTalkers. And it's good for 5% off an order if you do it online.
Yeah.
So if you're listening to this and it's for somebody else or what have you, Planestalkers is the coupon code. It's kerwinsgamestore.com. Tell your friends. No. But, you know, again, those guys, Steve, thank you for that. That was really nice of you to do for us to kind of encourage, you know, and give our listeners a place to kind of go and help, you know, because shopping this time of year sucks anyway. I mean,
yes, it does.
Listen, I have bought, I don't think, I'm trying to think, other than Friday night when I bought a few things at Bonds, I don't think I've stepped into a store and bought anything. Oh, I bought something at Kerwin's. No,
nope.
Can't talk about that because Wendy does listen.
Well, and also too, just as a quick addition to that, I mean, I know that we talk about the store in Catskill a lot. They do also have a location in Poughkeepsie, if you're listening in that area.
But it's Poughkeepsie.
But I'm just saying, they got two locations. So, you know, if you can't reach them online, but you're in the area, stop in Catskill, stop in Poughkeepsie, and they'll help you out.
Yeah, they're great guys, Josh and the fellas. They listen to the show, and so Zach Triplett, Planestalkers. I should really be watching. You know what? You need to be watching the chat and let me know when people are talking, because this is minutes ago. But Zach Triplett, he said they're also good for people just getting into Arena because they come with codes. That's a very good point. Thank you, Zach. Yes, and if your friends and family play Arena, Planeswalker decks. I like that. That's something we should look at.
Maybe one day.
Planeswalker decks do come with Arena codes where they'd be able to play with those cards inside Arena. And if you don't know what Arena is, ask your friends. It's basically the online version of Magic.
Yeah, it's the new one because there's two.
Yeah, yes. So that's not confusing at all.
No, not at all. No. I mean, after everything else they come out with now, there's 3 or 4 or 5 different ways to play the game.
Yeah, I know. It's fun, though. You know, an Arena is pretty great. Now, if you're looking for anything like gift cards for that, no go.
Yeah,
I think they're going to do something at some point. They've got to, I think.
You would think they'd have to, but then again, this is Wizards we're talking about, and, you know, they do weird things when it comes to gifts. I mean, that's a good case in point to what came out today.
So, yeah, and you know what, Aramis, that's a lovely segue. Let's go ahead and get right into
combat phase.
All right, combat phase. Wow, we had a day. I do like that we record on Mondays because it seems like we get information from Wizards when we record on Monday. And we got some information today.
We did.
Aramis, why don't you take this one out?
All right. So over the last like week or two, I think it's Gavin Verhey and a couple other people at Wizards have been sort of teasing something called Secret Lair. And they wouldn't give any information as to what it was. Yes. And they said, you know, just tune in on the 25th. You'll hear about it. You'll see what it's about. They sent out a cryptic tweet in the morning with a bunch of emojis that, you know, who knows. So what happens is starting at 10 a.m. Pacific today on the 25th, they started having certain either like streamers or YouTube personalities preview the cards that are in this special set. And they started out with Kenji Igashira, also known as Numot the Nummy. So what it is, Secret Lair is 7 individual box sets of cards, between 3 and 7 cards in each set, that are only going to be available from December 2nd to December 9th. Each one is only available for 24 hours for that day. It's an unlimited amount, so you have to go onto Wizards Store to buy it. To their Wizards Store, like Hasbro Store, whatever it is, to buy it. There's Bitter Blossom Dreams, Eldraine Wonderland, Restless in Peace, Seeing Visions, Explosion Sounds, Kaleidoscope Killers, and OMG Kitties.
So, now, OMG Kitties, I could see myself doing just because, you know.
Yeah, so what they are, each one has its own little theme. So OMG Kitties is, I believe, 5 or 7 cards. 2 of them are tokens, and the other 5 cards are all cat-related things. But the art is like super cute cats, like little kittens with big eyes, and it's a real divergence from what Magic art normally is. And they're black bordered, so they're tournament legal, I believe, since there's already versions that would be legal in other formats.
That's what they're saying. They are competitive legal. For what they're competitively able to be.
Yeah, and so each of these things are, you know, like I said, varying amounts of cards. Overall, I'm kind of disappointed with how they're doing it, because
you're not wrong.
Here's the thing. Each of them is going to cost either $30 or $40, depending on what they are. One of them, the Bitter Blossom Dreams, you get a copy of Bitter Blossom with new art, and 4 Fairy Rogue tokens, each of them with different art. And that's it. And it's $30, which I understand that Bitter Blossom is a valuable card, and if yes, it's an alternate art, it's not available anywhere else, but it... And you get a deck box with it, sort of. I don't know. It's just, they seem interesting, but obviously this is something that's not supposed to be for everyone. But like Explosion Sounds is a bunch of different goblins, which, I mean, and the art is like really almost like a pop art comic book, which, you know, they have like Goblin Pile Driver, which was one of my favorite cards back in the day.
It is. It's a good... It's a good... thing in and of itself. By itself, it's a decent thing. And I don't want to slam Wizards. Again, this is not Magic Historian who lives to slam Wizards. And I can't wait to see what he's going to say about this. And I imagine the professor is going to have something to say about it. But you know what? We're here first, so we're going to say something about it. This is freaking stupid. Okay? I'm sorry. I'm not just disappointed. I'm actually kind of... I'm getting fed up. Like, okay... You're already at a new standard set every quarter, which, again, I'm okay with. You're already at two modern supplemental sets a year. I'm okay with that, per se. Now you're expanding Commander next year to almost one a quarter. And it's too much. You're flooding your own market. And then to bring these cards where there's only 4 or 5 cards for $30? $30? Because some street graffiti artist went out and drew a kitty. I got to pay $30 for it? No. Screw that. I'm sorry. I'm a collector in some regards, but I'm also mainly... I do this because I enjoy the game. Mm-hmm. You know, and I like to collect cards, and I like to get the really, really rare ones that cost a lot of money. And there is a lot of joy that comes with that. Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, I'm trying to play. I want to build decks. I enjoy the deck building and sitting across from somebody and trying to beat them with something I put together. This is nothing more than a cash grab. It is the Mythic Edition. It is the Mythic Edition for the last set. It is the, you know, accelerated boosters or whatever the hell they're called, the special boosters for Eldraine. There's special boosters they're going to have for Theros. It is nothing more than that. And again, I am not opposed to, I'm a capitalist as the day is long. Make money. I'm all for making money. I want this company to succeed so that this doesn't go away. However, when you are putting out thing after thing after thing after thing once a month, and you're charging a little bit more every single time, but you sit there and say, but we don't have an MSRP. You do, because you sell your wares to a distributor who is going to sell their wares to a store.
Well, and here's another problem that I have with this. Wizards has always said they don't acknowledge the existence of a secondary market, correct?
Yeah, and then on the other side of it, they keep scalding tarns out of standard.
Well, notice something about these. There's seven of them. You can buy each of them individually for the one day that they're available, or you can spend $200 on the second and get all of them when they come out.
Right.
Which, no, thank you, but anyway.
But, no. It's a saving of $10, Aramis.
That's about $30 by on value.
No, but, no, if it's $30 a piece and there's
well,
seven.
Well, there's a couple that are 40.
Are there? Well, no, yeah. It's $30 a piece or 40. 40 is better art. It's going to be like the it's going to be the foils, and it's
some
going
of them
to be...
have the ones with the cream. But here's the thing: Restless in Peace, I think, is $30. Has three cards.
Yeah.
OMG Kitties is $30. Has seven cards. If there's no secondary market, what's the difference between these two products?
And then here's my question: are they a playset, or do I have to buy four of them?
It's single, like Seeing Visions. Is four different copies of Serum Visions, each one with different art.
This is so stupid.
So what this is basically doing is this is them acknowledging but not acknowledging the secondary market by saying, we have things that are the same price but are different value.
Mm-hmm.
So
it's kind of like when they put Kenrith in the collector boosters, and, you know, collector booster Kenriths are worth more than, because they're not foiled.
Yeah, that's weird. It's weird how that worked out, but
or it wasn't that. No, it wasn't collector booster. What the hell was it? It was that. It was the set of like. It was like that legendary super mythic set that they put out of for like $500.
Oh, the Throne of Eldraine collector's edition or something like that. Yeah,
like they had a non foil Kenrith in there, and the non foil is worth more than the foil.
Yeah, well, and the biggest one of the biggest problems I have with this is that for one. Only each one only being available for one day unless you fork out the $200 kind of sucks for someone who says, well, I can't afford it this week.
Right.
You know, I don't get paid till
Christmas.
The 9th. It's Christmas also. Plus, you can only get it on Wizard's store. No LGS is going to have this. So this screws the local game stores again with a premium product. You would want this out there. I get it's a collector's item. I get that you probably, you wouldn't want too many floating around. But at the same time, you're offering it online on your store with an unlimited supply.
And I get why they're doing that. It's because you couldn't sell a store like, you know, Kerwin's or Bond's or anybody else and say, okay, you have 24 hours to sell these and then you eat them. You know, I mean, I get the reason that you have to do it like that.
Why do flash sales on Magic cards? It makes no
sense. I don't get it either. I would get, you know what? Flash sales for the $40 sets. Absolutely. All right. You know what? If you want the foil edition, then you're going to have to get it this day. It's only going to be available on our store.
You know what I'd rather do if they were doing that? Flash sales on out-of-print sets.
That'd be nice.
You know, and make it so that, you know, it's tied to, like, your IP address or something so that you can only order X amount and you can't screw
with
that.
That can be game, though. I mean, with proxies now and things like that.
It's still, you know, there's ways that they can do it. Like, or if it's tied to an email address or a phone number or something. Some way where they could say, okay, we're going to re-release for one day only, I don't know, Zendikar. You know?
I'd buy a box.
Because
I want chocolate,
you can only buy like up to like six boosters or whatever it was. Yeah. You know, and they're charging like $15 a pack. Okay.
Yeah, I don't disagree with you there, but even then, I'd be like, put that in stores.
Yeah.
I mean, I get the fact, you know what, or treat it like Disney and say, here's the thing, okay, make your money while you can, but on, you know, if you're going to do this, then at closing time this day, we expect that you're going to pack up our product
and ship
that you haven't sold, put it in our envelopes, and ship it back to us.
Yeah, and then they pay the shipping fees.
Right. You know, like that, like Disney does what Disney used to do with the freaking vault and the Blu-rays and stuff. They'd be like, oh, Snow White's done. You can't get it for another 15 years, suckers. You know, you know what? You're not wrong. I mean, here's the thing, folks. And if you're, this is your first time listening, you're going to find out that we love the local game stores. You know, Aramis and I come from a generation where we played at local game stores. And
you can't play at Walmart.
It was the only place other than the kitchen table to play. So, you know, screwing the local game stores is short-sighted. It's Hasbro. It's not Wizards. I believe that wholeheartedly. When Hasbro bought this product, I mean, you know, and again, I'm all for profit. I'm all for profit.
I got no problem with them wanting to make money.
But I do have a problem with them screwing the game stores. And so I'd like to see something more come of that. Hmm. That being said, you know, I do think the product has some merit. There are going to be people who will buy it. This will be successful.
Yeah,
and it sucks because I wish it would fail. Honestly, I'd love it to fail. And I don't like to be negative. This is not the Magic Historian who lives in the negative, and I love the guy, and he's fun to watch.
I would say this. If this was something that was available even just for, like, the regular print run of a set, like 3 or 4 or 5 months, where you could sort of get it over time, I would probably do this. You know, plunk down $30 here, $30 there. Because, you know, the Eldraine Wonderland is 5 foil snow-covered lands. You can't really find snow-covered lands in foil.
No.
So, you know, some of this stuff is kind of cool, but it's like, I'm not going to be able to plunk down this money on demand like that. That's not reasonable.
I have to pay bills. I shopped a lot. I have to pay bills now. But, I mean, yeah. I mean, that's another thing. It's like, all right, every time I've ever bought a collector's booster, and I think I bought like 3, they've always been an impulse buy. It's always been I see it at Walmart, and I'm like, you know what? I think I got $25. Let's roll the dice. Let's see what's going on. You know, oh, craps. Shit. Mm-hmm. But, you know, one time I opened a Foil Loco. You know, I mean, so that's the kind of the upside with the collector boosters is that, hey, impulse, like, oh, I think I can do this. If I have to go to your web store, if I have to search this out, you're removing the impulse. This is a designated purchase. And, yeah, I think it's short-sighted. I really do, and I do hope it doesn't do well.
If for no other reason, the timing is bad.
Yeah. Like, I'd be fine if they did it during the, you know, every year in October or whenever they did, you know, when Magic first started. You know, like around the anniversary. Okay.
Yeah, that would actually be great. Around the anniversary, do reprints of staple cards from the past. Like, there are some good cards in here. Like, Bitter Blossom is like a $30 card to begin with.
Yeah,
and which obviously the price might go down with this, but you know, and they have like you know, Life from the Loam. I don't know what else is on them that's really good, but there's you know, like I said, the foil snow covered lands. There are some good and interesting cards here, but it's I don't know. It's just like the presentation looks good of the actual cards themselves. The art is great. I love the way that they're doing like they're pushing the envelope on what they can put on.
But it's
card.
Not $30 art. I mean, if
for no other reason, again, than the fact of saying you have to do this now or you'll never get it.
And I think we're both, I mean, this combat, I think we're in agreement. I mean, it's a decent product, and I'd love to see them do more things like this. Not at Christmas. And I know that you're probably thinking, like, hey, you know, tell your families to this is what you want and have them go. Here's the thing. My wife, who's just getting into Magic, is not going to deal with the, and I'm just going to say, and forgive my language, the bullshit that comes from the Hasbro store. Because y'all ain't done it right once. Like, you have found a way to screw this up every single time.
I guess the Throne of Eldraine Collector's Edition more or less went off without a hitch. I guess there
were some...
Of course
it did. It was $600.
Yeah. There were some hiccups. It sold out almost instantaneously.
Of course it did.
But it was I guess they worked out a lot of the bugs on the website. So I guess the interface and the experience is a lot smoother than it was for, say, you know, War of the Spark.
Hell, Core 20 have problems?
I don't know if they had anything special for Core 20.
No, it was War of the Spark, you're right.
Yeah, but they've improved in that regard. But again, it's like you said, it's short-sighted. It feels like they built up all this hype for something that is kind of meh.
Yeah.
It's nice. It's nice. Don't get me wrong. It's very pretty.
I'm not going to go out and find this. I'm not going to go to the website. I'm not going to log in. I'm not going to give you my credit card. I'm not going to buy this.
Yeah, I'm probably not going to buy it either.
And I'm, again, it's right in the tagline of the podcast, and maybe it's not for me, because we say we are a show for casuals by casuals. All right, and maybe because I'm a dirty, rotten casual that I'm like...
Filthy casual.
Huh?
You're filthy casual.
I know, I get it.
But, well, I mean, you're better than me in that regard. You're a casual. I'm more of a tryhard.
So I'm just not going to do it. And it sucks. And it really does. And
yeah.
I probably would if I had the money and the ability and I didn't have a wife. You know what? I could, if it was in a store and I thought I could get away with it, because she's in the air, so I'm going to have fun with this. if I thought I could get away with buying it and Wendy would have no way of knowing? Absolutely. Like, if I walked into Walmart and, like, look, honey, I just bought a regular booster pack. It's just a booster pack. I'm going to go over here now, but don't look at the receipt. No. But, I mean, if, you know, she's going to be like, why did you spend $30 at Hasbro? Why did you spend $200 at Hasbro?
Yeah, and you got, like, what, 25 cards?
Yeah. So, I'm sorry. It's not happening.
If you're going to spend $200 online to buy Magic cards, buy 2 Scalding Tarns.
True.
You get more use out of them. Because, who plays Regal Caracal?
Is Modern really going to be a thing?
It'll be a thing until it's like Legacy, and it's not.
And I think we're not far from that, my friend.
Yeah, Legacy hung around for a while. I think Modern will be fine for a while.
For a while. But I think Pioneer's a new hotness.
Pioneer is a new hotness. I love Pioneer. Having played again, I love it. Yeah. The omniscient wife. There's nothing. Yes. There's nothing false about that theory.
Well, she thought that I actually did a nice thing, and I picked up wrappers this weekend. Mm-hmm. Like, there were wrappers on the floor. I forget where they were, but I picked them up because they were on the floor, and I had my hands full, so I put them in my pocket. Well, yeah. Of my pajamas. Well, I'm diabetic, he says, while having a beer. And she posts on Facebook today the things about the wrappers, saying he thinks he's hiding, he thinks he's eating these fruit snacks, and he's not, and ha, ha, ha. And I'm sitting there going, well, you just done screwed yourself, honey, because now I'm not going to pick up the trash I see. Screw you. You're picking up yourself. So, you know, all knowing my butt.
Well, yeah, we did know somebody called my butt, didn't we?
We did.
We do.
And she says, and I quote, this is why I married this woman. She says, lies. They were his wrappers he picked up off the floor.
There you go.
They weren't mine. But anyway, moving on. Yes, we're not going to have a fight in the middle of our podcast here. So let's go ahead. I mean, again, this combat phase.
To push.
Snarf. So let's go.
Main phase.
All right. We're back to main phase. All right, folks. So this weekend, Arena did finally release the historic cards and the historic event.
Lies.
And if the word is historic... Well, gotta be honest with you, folks. I wasn't feeling it. It's not. It was more of the same. Basically, I played in the event, and I mean, I have all the historic cards. I went ahead and got them because, you know, what you never know. Something might come of it. But I'm sitting there, and I'm playing, and I'm putting the deck together, and I try putting it together with some of the historic cards, and they don't fit. they don't fit. I just don't think they didn't really fit or add anything to my decks. So I built a Golos Field of the Dead, Jeskai Fires, Oko deck.
Okay.
I went 5-0 rather quickly. Like, not even a contest. It was pretty much like, you thought you were going to play today. Yeah, it just... Yeah, I mean, it was okay. It was kind of meh. I mean, I didn't play in ranked yet. I probably will at some point, but... Eh. You know, I'd rather have Pioneer. Give me Pioneer.
Yeah. Yes, please.
So what about you, Aramis? Did you play this week?
I decided to be a jerk, and I played Mono Blue Mill.
Did you? How'd that go?
It went great. I had some people conceding very quickly.
Really?
Oh, yeah, they hated it. Because, you know, when I'm... Anytime I cast a spell, I'm milling you for 4 or 6. And then, oh, you drew some cards? Mill some more. Oh, you get to mill 3 at the beginning of your turn, too. And I'll draw some more cards, which triggers that, which makes you mill more. Oh, sorry.
are they dead in 5-6 turns, or...?
Around that, yeah. I mean, it doesn't really, like... And the fact that, like, all the creatures are 0/4s, so, like, aggressive decks kind of are bricked against it, because they're a bunch of 1/1s and they can't get through.
Field of the Dead?
Didn't see any. Actually, no, wait, I did. I milled them out.
Okay, I was wondering about that. I was like, I wonder if you can mill out a field deck.
So what I did in that game was I had Psychic Corrosion out, which every time I draw a card, you mill 2. And I also had Drowned Secrets, which anytime I cast a blue spell, you mill 2.
I love that card.
So what I did was I cast Merfolk Secret Keeper, and they milled 6. I cast the Secret Keeper again out off of the adventure afterwards, and so you milled 2 more. And then I cast a, what was it, Forced Amnesia, I think it is, the one from Rivals of Ixalan, mm-hmm. where you exile your hand and draw it. I targeted myself.
Interesting.
Because I still had 6 cards in my hand. Which made me draw 6, which put 6 triggers of Psychic Corrosion on the stack, so he milled 12.
Jesus.
And then on his turn, he milled 3 more. So, yeah, his deck didn't last more than a couple of turns.
Yeah. It sounds a lot like a little bit what I'm trying to put together. I've actually, you know, in Standard, I've started... Mm-hmm. I put together, just for fun, I did build a Rakdos Sacrifice.
Nice.
That's a fun deck. Nice. It's a jerk deck. If you get the oven and the kitty out, that's a jerk deck.
I was looking into that. It's actually not that bad to build. I mean, there's
I had all the pieces.
Cards. Yeah, I think I'm only missing a couple of Vraskas for that.
I'm missing a couple of mine is Vraska. You don't have Vraska.
Oh, there's a Jund version.
Oh, okay. I'm playing Rakdos, and I'm missing the Midnight Reapers for some reason. Now I know I have them, I just can't find them. So I don't know what happened. I don't know if I might have traded a few away, but, I mean, I'll get a few. But, you know, with that, the Historic is kind of, it's there.
Yeah.
It's going to go away, so play it.
Yeah, it's why can't they just have, again, dead horse, why can't they just do this all the time?
Again, I think they just, it's about, you know, being the one in charge. Yeah. And they want to be in charge of us. So they're just going to beat the dead horse.
They already have our souls. What more do they want?
I think very seriously that it has everything to do with, you know, they really want us to stay in Standard because we're going to spend money in Standard. Which is stupid because you could spend money in Historic if you open up Historic. Open up every set you've got. People will, and don't, you know what, and it's going to suck for me because I was part of the private beta, and I had a Hazoret Red deck. I had all the pieces. Mm-hmm. And then when you went to open beta, you wiped my collection, and it sucks.
And these digital cards have no real value, you know?
Not even a little.
There's no harm in you saying, all right, flashback Amonkhet draft. Because I'll tell you what, the flashback drafts are pretty popular in Magic Arena. Chaos Draft is very popular in Magic Arena. Cube is popular. Online, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
But, you know, going back and being able to draft these old sets is amazing. You know, so they're literally throwing money away from their cash cow. And they could be feeding the cash cow, making it bigger into a cash horse so we could beat it some more.
I really think they are not doing it because they don't have all the little flashy animations that they have with Eldraine. And I had a feeling when they did this the first time in War of the Spark and they had that one creature, that one dragon that came out and did something, I'm like, oh shit, they're going to do this more. And now it's like there's a hand reaching down and a Brazen Borrower is going to flash you and Rakdos guy.
I hate Brazen Borrower. It takes so long and it's the same one whether or not you use the adventures. No. Put the animations away, add more cards first, and then backdate the animations.
Yeah, or save, and I get it, you're saving it kind of for Mythics, but still.
Well, they do it for Goblin Chain Whirler.
Yeah, they do it. Well,
and they didn't do it at...
Goblin Chain Whirler was cool, though.
Well, that's the thing, at first, they didn't do it.
Right.
If you notice, it was a couple updates later, they're like, oh, look, we made Bells and Whistles, where you can add these cards and then do the Bells and Whistles later. There's nothing that stops you from doing that.
Like a bell?
Like a bell.
Well, that's that. So Historic and all that, we both are kind of like, meh.
Could have been done better. They screwed the pooch.
Hopefully it does get better. But let's go. You know what? We have some mail. So I'm going to go into the mailbag here. We have mail from two of our listeners.
Nice.
And I'm learning with the mail thing that I should read the bottom first in case they don't want their real name out. So, but Rick didn't. He just signed it. Didn't sign it at all. So I'm going to say... he sent a deck list, so, you know, usually we're not big on reading a whole deck list, but since this is an email, we're just going to do it. He said, hey guys, since you haven't had so many emails recently, I thought I'd send an Azorius Flyers deck list I've been tweaking. Not tweeting. Tweaking. Beady, 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 beady. No, wait, that's tweaking. Okay, moving on. Apparently the beer has hit. So here's his deck list. It's 4 Fairy Miscreants, 4 Spectral Sailors, 4 Fairy Guide Mothers, 4 Healer's Hawks, 4 Rally of Wings, 4 Empyrean Eagle, 3 Unbreakable Formations, 3 Cloud Conceers, 3 Teferi Time Revelers, 3 Dovin Grand Arbiters, 3
like
Hanged Executioners, and 2 Hallowed Fountains and Castle Ventress, and then some basic lands. He asks the question, he says, too heavy on 3 drops, I'm on the fence on adding some card draw, Opt, Winged Words, etc. So how are things moving along with the idea? And then he goes on to talk about something we haven't announced yet, but I kind of told him because he's one of our fans. Just curious. Thanks, and keep up the good work. You know what? I'm just going to do it. Screw it. We're going to do this right now, and we'll do a bit more of it in a week or two. Coming down the pike, folks. Can I do this, Aramis, or should I not?
Go for it.
All right. We are coming up on our year. And I've already had to re-up the email, which was $60. And, there are some things we've got to do. So Aramis and I have been discussing the possibility of Patreon and making a patron network. If anyone has an opinion on this, please email us. Negative or positive, we really want to know. I don't want to do this too soon. However, there are some genuine costs associated with doing the podcast. And I'd really like to offset some of those. So with regards to that, we will be putting something together. You know, we're looking at a launch around the, you know, late December, first of the year after the holidays. It's going to be very, very, very minimal. $1 to $5 a month is what we're thinking. Just to kind of help offset the cost and allow us to maybe... get some new equipment too. Maybe get Aramis a green screen. Those of you who are writing me or tweeting me or talking to me about his background, Patreon. Tell your friends.
They don't like looking at the Mets hats. That's what
it's
it is.
Not just that. It does kind of look a little. You look like you're in a bunker. I kind of feel like you're like hiding out from the feds. But
I'm hiding
any
my
of
wife.
It.
Does that count?
So, but that is moving forward. We are putting it together. We will probably use Patreon. And like I said, it'll probably be a $1 to $5 with, we'll get bonuses and things of that nature. So if you have an opinion on this, I would really, really like it. So please email us podcast@planestalkerspodcast.com. Let us know what you think. Like I said, we'll be doing a more official announcement later, video, that sort of thing. We might record it when we're in Kerwin's on the 13th because he's got, that really cool wall. So
yay, but, walls.
All right, in any event...
Anyway, the deck.
In regards to your deck, Rick, I like it a little bit. It's missing something. I think it's missing, power. It has some buff up with the Empyrean Eagle, but it's missing a little bit of... it's missing a piece, and I can't tell you what it is, to tell you the truth. I'm not really a blue-white player. My wife is. Aramis is. I'm surrounded by
this looks a little more, this looks a little more aggro.
Yeah.
I'm not really.
I mean, because I would add the Brazen Borrower if you can afford it, because he's a great card, and he's a bounce on a stick, you know?
Absolutely.
And he comes in cheap. He doesn't block well, but he does fly well.
Well,
and he flashes
tempo.
In.
It's very good tempo.
Yeah. So, I mean, if you could do that, and I'd probably take the Miscreant or...
The Guide Mothers, maybe?
I would take the Guide Mothers out, yeah, for those. You should take Teferi out just because, you know, you don't want to be that kind of a dick.
Keep Teferi in. Keep Teferi in. You're fine with Teferi.
Keep Teferi in. Whatever. Loser. And I might, you know what? I might take out one or two more islands to put in more Vantress. Like, I am finding more and more as I'm playing, when I was playing Simic Flash, and I'm getting late game, and I'm not finding my wolf, and I'm, you know, I'm kind of struggling. That ability to spend four mana to basically scry two late game is pretty useful. So, I definitely would look at that. So, other than that, what do you think, Aramis? This is kind of like Ask Aramis, but I jumped into it. But
I'm kind of looking through it. He is kind of heavy on three drops.
Yeah.
I do like the idea of the deck, because obviously, you know, pretty much everything flies. So
you're
evasion's
a dirty rotten control
an issue.
Player anyway, so.
Well, anyway, something I would say might be good would be maybe add a couple copies of Sephara.
Ooh, actually,
because that would you know, there's a good,
that would give you your power.
Well, it looks like it'd be very easy to cast this for one mana, and then making all your other flyers indestructible is a very good thing.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe I
would sideboard in the Loxodon too, because you've got a lot of creatures out there, and if you need
venerated?
Something, yeah, if you need something a little more low to the ground with a little more power. As well as giving your flyers 1/1 counters as opposed to just a 1/1 from the eagle. And I mean, that's a sideboard card. You're trying to stay to the flyers, but sometimes you just, you know, if you're playing a questing beast coming out turn four, you're going to want a little something to kind of bump your guys up to try to, granted, you're going to lose one to the death touch, but, you know.
And I would say too, there's no reason not to play four Hallowed Fountain instead of two. I don't know if that was maybe a typo of some kind, but...
And I would probably even put in the... what the hell is it? The one tap, give a life. The tap land that comes in, but it gives you a life. It's a...
The white-blue one?
Yeah. Because, again, here's the thing. You're going to lose life no matter what. I mean, you've got a 1-1. I think they're Miscreants of 1. Guide Mother's not doing too much. The Healer's Hawks are 1. Eagles...
Tranquil Cove.
Huh?
Tranquil Cove,
yeah.
Yeah, sorry.
You're taking a lot of one drops. You're going to lose life. So you're going to need some ways to kind of pull it back.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's an interesting deck. I like it.
I mean, it might be something to try out, for sure.
And then, so I hope that helped. But let's go on to Justin, because he also emailed. We're getting a little low on time here. Justin wrote in. He said, "Hey, guys. If you haven't tried that mono red discard deck out yet, definitely give it a try. I've been working on it and moved away from the Ironcrag Pyromancer, good call, in favor of more Hasties to combo with Torbrin and Cavalier of Flames." And then he sends a deck list through Aetherhub. "Have you guys tried the historic event?" Yes, we have. "I've been having a ton of fun making decks to try and dunk people churn 3-4. Thoughts on them trying to turn historic into pioneer down the road?" I think they have to turn historic into pioneer. Period.
Well, they kind of announced that was sort of the plan. I don't know what that means with the curated cards that they have.
I think they're going to make them ghost. I think we're looking at cards that they're going to work into reprints at some point.
Maybe.
There isn't anything in that set that can't go into a core. I noticed that. I was like, there is nothing in this set that can't
go
into a core.
Soul Warden's kind of strong.
Yeah, but that's about it.
Soul Warden's kind of strong.
Well, you put Soul Worm into a set. You put Soul Worm into Theros.
Yeah, you could. You know.
There is nothing.
Sarah Ascendant would have to be a core set thing, but I mean, that's where it was from originally.
Yeah.
Phyrexian Arena, I don't see them reprinting.
Man, I don't see them reprinting Phyrexian Arena. You're right.
Although, you know, I would not mind that one bit.
So that's an interesting thought. And your deck list, yeah, I took a look at it. Your deck list is good, man. I'm glad you're having fun with it. I'll post a link into the show notes so that people can check it out on whatever they're listening to. But yeah, this is a pretty good, you know, pretty good set. You know, I like it a lot. So thank you both for writing in. We really do appreciate it, guys. You know, you're two of our biggest fans. We really appreciate you guys doing that. And it lets us know that you're out there listening and, you know, it's kind of nice. So thank you for stroking our
ego. We really do appreciate it.
We do appreciate it. So, but you know what? We are getting a little late on time, so let's go ahead. Okay, we're going to start picking up our cards and putting them in the box, rolling up our play mats, putting all of our trash in the receptacle, because damn it, your mother still doesn't work at this game store. But as we start putting things together and start giving ourselves around, Aramis and I wanted to remind you that we do occasionally, not as often as we should, stream on Twitch. You can find us on the Planeswalkers podcast channel there and look us up. You know, follow me on Twitch as well at MindCrime73.
You can also follow me on Twitch at RMECWRX. I streamed last week. I'm hoping to... Well, I won't be able to stream this week because of the holiday coming up, I don't think. So
no, I probably won't either.
Yeah. Probably stream next Wednesday night. Usually around 8, 9 o'clock is when I do it for about an hour or so. Hopefully the next time I stream I do better than I did the last one because, oof, that was rough. But anyway... RMECWRX on Twitch. I linked all of the broadcasts that I do to our main Planeswalkers podcast page, so you'll find us on either one of those. But if Twitter is more your speed and you want to follow us that way, you can find our show at PlanestalkerPod on Twitter.
And my personal Twitter is at WR Benson. Now, again, folks, I'm not on it very much, but, you know, I really kind of have it just so I could sit here and follow Betty White from the Golden Girls. And of course, you can always follow us on
She's
Facebook.
She's the only one left anyway, right?
Yeah, she is. just look up Planeswalker Podcast there and like and follow the page.
And finally, if you want to send us emails to either let us know how we're doing or if you have some questions, we want to ask for advice. We have our Ask Aramis section where I can offer you tips on anything from deck construction to limited choices. And like I said, if you just wanted to send us an email, let us know how we're doing. You have any comments about the show, suggestions, that's always appreciated. Our email address is podcast@planestalkerspodcast.com.
And finally, we do want to remind you about our iTunes review contest that's going on all through the month of November. This will be the last week for you guys to get into that. Next Monday, we'll do a drawing for the people that have left us an iTunes review. We actually have two new ones tonight. I want to read them real quick. Nice. First one is from J_Sire. It says, the best standard podcast around. He said, these hosts have a great grasp on the state of the meta and aren't afraid to speak their mind on the state of Magic and Arena. As someone who plays Arena and wants to get quick updates on the state of the meta, commonly seen cards, things that need to be banned, and upcoming potential decks and strategies, this podcast is perfect. You even get a little Pioneer discussion, no additional charge. Very well laid out and great banter between the hosts. Love the podcast. And Smitty, 13, many nines, he said, also, great for someone coming back. As someone who just got back into the game with Core 2020, I love hearing about the current meta and why cards, builds, work, or don't, as I could never keep up with that myself. I also like that you're thinking of expanding to Pioneer, as that format seems interesting to me as well. Hopefully we can get you to do more Brawl. Thanks for a quick, fun listen that doesn't take itself too seriously and looking out for the casual player. Smitty, thanks for that. Maybe next week we'll do a little bit of Brawl, because I've got a pretty good Brawl deck, and, you know, tends around the holidays, news around Wizards gets a little slower. So, I mean, we can kind of get back into some of this before we get into pre-release, which will... God, that's going to probably kick up in, what, 2 weeks?
Well, let's see. The new set releases right around my birthday in January. So I think we're probably another solid month away from previews.
All right. From
they're probably not going to start anything. Actually, and they really kind of tend to shut down right at the end of the year. So you probably won't see anything until after the first.
Okay. So, I mean, we'll definitely have an opportunity to do that. So... but guys, we want to thank you for that. Like we said, we have an iTunes contest going on where you can win 3 packs of Arena cards. I'm not sure which sets. We'll, you know, take a look at that. But you can win 3 free packs just by leaving us a review. Not just positive reviews, by the way. A review in iTunes. leave us a review there. Make sure you leave your name and stuff and write us some comments. It does help the show. And it you know, it helps us to know where we want to make changes. Like somebody told me to nerf the soundboard, and tonight it's out of control. I have no idea why it's so loud, and I do apologize for that, but I'll fix it in post. But, you know, reading those and all that, the iTunes reviews, please go and do it. This is the last week. But, you know, we want to thank you guys very much for listening to the show tonight. We've had a great time. We're going to be back next Monday after the holiday. You know, so for Aramis Perez, my name is Will Benson. I want to say thank you again for listening to our show and watching us tonight, and remind you to always leave some of your mana untapped, because you never know when you'll need it. Take care.